Hey, welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday, April 3rd, 1:07 in the afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And boy, what a storm that we had pushed through the area yesterday. And boy, the snowfall totals from around the area, pretty impressive. And we'll run down those in a bit. But I was talking, again, don't forget we have our LRC Spring and Summer Outlook coming up right after Weather and Ag in Focus, 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock on the Jay Thomas Show here. And we're going to run down what this summer looks like. We're going to break it down month by month. We'll kind of highlight when the severe weather outbreaks are going to hit, because I'm sure if you've been keeping up on the news, yesterday a major, major severe weather outbreak hitting areas from the Ohio Valley through Arkansas, Missouri, and they're expecting more of that today. What's going to happen with this storm when it cycles back in June and July? That's the big question, and we'll be going over that as well, and kind of how much moisture is our ag community going to get as well? Are we going to see drought conditions expanding out west? Because they are very dry out there right now. Or will we see beneficial rainfall? We'll go over all those details, and we'll also be taking your questions as well. So what questions do you have, Bridget? I'm sure you're wanting to know if the drought conditions out west are going to continue. And, you know, a lot of our ag community, obviously they don't need that. But let's assume, Bridget, that the southwestern corner of the state, which is under severe drought, what if that drought continues? How does our ag community deal with that?
So actually, if you look at the U.S. Drought Monitor, which I had up on screen on Tuesday, and we talked about that, the worst of the drought for western North Dakota is actually further north. It would be considered kind of that mid-range line of the state, close to Watford City, just right below where the Missouri River comes in from Montana. Now, that's the worst part of the drought. They're in a big red dot out there. Also, it's not far from places that we had wildfires. As you move down into the southwest corner of the state, there is drought conditions, and that trails all the way along the border counties of South Dakota as we get even over closer to the Red River Valley. The north central part of North Dakota and the northeast seem to be in the best situation moisture-wise right now. As you look at western North Dakota, we're still going to plant a crop. Farmers are already planning to do some cutbacks, probably about 80 to 85% of their total yield goals as of usual. So they're planning to put out less when it comes to fertilizer. Instead of fertilizing for their highest bushels, they're going to cut those numbers back and fertilize for something slightly lower in order to save some dollars. They're also going to certainly make sure they're continuing to use conservation practices. We have a lot of no-till in western North Dakota, means we're directly seeding into stubble from last year in order to conserve moisture by not opening up the soil very deeply. And also, I think wildfires are going to continue to be a concern as we go into this spring situation. If we have heavy winds, which we traditionally have had, think about some of those snert storms that we've had the last few springs, probably the last 4 or 5 years. If we have those heavy winds driving any potential spark, we can continue to see wildfires flare up out there. Pastures, of course, are on the dry side, so we're going to watch for rotational grazing to make sure that we don't overgraze pastures without the chance for them to rebound later in the season. Also, we'll see less cuttings of hay. You know, if we normally are able to take 3 cuttings of alfalfa off of a field or some of our hay area, we're going to see less of that happening in order to allow for regrowth in those drier conditions. And then there's CRP. Our Conservation Reserve Program acres in drought conditions can be opened up for emergency haying and grazing. Will that happen? That likely won't be determined until we get to midsummer before that's allowed. And if that's the case, that can also help to bolster some hay reserves that folks may have lost due to wildfires and so forth. So there's a number of things that folks are looking for and trying to be aware of right now as they plan for what 2025 will look like. You know, there's non-weather impacts that are a problem as well. We know that right now is a lot of discussion about tariffs. And tariffs on crop protection products that are coming into the country are going to really be more of an effect in 2026. What we're seeing for 2025 is the majority of that chemistry is already on our shores here in the U.S. So it was here prior to tariff conditions being implemented. What we'll find is that difference it makes as we go closer into next year. Will we see higher prices on some of our chemistries if there's no change in the tariffs. Yes. And also there's a tremendous amount of discussion about our potash market because 90% of U.S. potash comes out of Canada. If we had to use our own reserves for that, could we make up the difference in volume? I don't think that's a question anyone has fully answered yet, but those discussions are certainly going on as you watch some of our most recent media reports. So there, that's kind of a rundown on what's happening right now, agriculturally, especially across the state.
Right. Well, and let's run down the forecast here because we've got actually a little bit of sunshine. Looking out to the west here, we've got sunshine that's coming into the area, and we'll call that bonus sunshine because we were supposed to stay cloudy most of the day. We'll take it because that'll help really melt off, which it is, the roadways. Now, those secondary roads and neighborhoods are still a slush mess, but we get a little bit of sun. It's not going to take much to even clear off those residential streets as well. So we'll call partly to mostly cloudy today. Highs between 40 and 42 with a northwest wind about 10 to 15. Clouds come back late tonight. We'll start off with partly cloudy skies and turn mostly cloudy late tonight. Could see a little patchy fog develop with light winds and lows in the mid-20s. And for Friday, another little upper-level disturbance comes our way. That'll bring some light snow in through the central and eastern part of the state. Now, we're not expecting a lot, a half inch or so here in the FM area, but as you go out towards Bismarck, up towards Minot, those areas could pick up about 1 to 3. And then sun returns for the weekend with highs both days right around 40, so we'll continue to chip away at the snowfall. And the good news, Bridget, is later next week. Now, we'll start off the week on a cool side in the 30s and breezy on Monday. But by the time we get to Thursday, we're in the 50s. And by the time we get to next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, we're looking at temperatures into the 60s and 70s out west. So some really nice spring weather heading our way. All this snow will be a long, distant memory by the time we get to next weekend. Now, let's run down some of the snowfall totals that hit across the area, and some of them were pretty impressive. In and around the Fargo area, we generally were about 7 to 8 inches. Moorhead, 8.2. Ellendale, 8 inches. Abercrombie, 8.2. Hopping over into Minnesota, Pelican Rapids, 7.5. Euland, 11.5. Fergus Falls, 15 inches. Bemidji, 8 inches. Cormorant, 14 inches. Ottertail, 11 inches. DL, 10.5. So some pretty impressive snowfall totals. And the good news is, Bridget, this was that wet snow. Many areas picking up about 3/4 of an inch to an inch liquid out of this. So fantastic news. The moisture, and this should slow. Some of this will run off. That frost level, still a little deep, so some of this will run off, but regardless, moisture, that is well needed and well accepted across much of the area.
You know, just since the sun came out here and we're watching temperatures climb, you know, I would say we're already losing about 20% of that snowfall total from yesterday. I really would be surprised if, well, first of all, roads have opened up. They're wet,
oh, yeah.
But roads are open. This morning and last night, east-west roads were a problem because of the slush, and there was a north wind that was putting some drifts into, especially like the north-facing lanes. Things have improved today. I don't think we're going to have too much of a problem seeing a lot of this melt off. There's a lot of puddles where I'm at today, and we're pushing 40 degrees. So for those snowfall totals, if your town was not reported, why don't you make sure to give us a call on the JLA phone line, JLA Insurance phone line, because we want to make sure that they get to the National Weather Service. You can reach us there at 701-293-9000. You can send emails weather or ag@flagfamily.com. And we would love for you to be following along today. You can watch us on WDAY Weather and Ag in Focus. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Acres TV. Well, we don't have a guest joining us today, but we've got lots of other headlines to talk about. We certainly want to get geared up for the weather special. Folks might be thinking of questions that they have and want to send us in advance of that starting at 2 o'clock on the Jay Thomas Show today. And we are definitely going to pick up what's happening with our markets. And we're going to do that today. We'll hear from the American Ag Network. And we thank Goose River Bank for being our sponsor for those markets. See the new digital banking available with Goose River Bank that makes it even easier for Goose River to become part of your community banking, where they believe in a strong bank builds strong communities. fact, I'm currently in Hillsboro, North Dakota. There's a Goose River branch right here in Hillsboro. So thank you to them. Look forward to hearing what's happening in markets today, if tariffs had any impact. And we'll talk about all the things going on agriculturally. Man, I got a pile of them when we return. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us here at Weather and Ag in Focus. Maybe you're watching the snow melt today, taking a moment to not shovel your sidewalks, because this is one of those very heavy widowmaker type snowfalls. Let's just wait. It'll be gone mostly tomorrow. Now, technology is supposed to help your farm or ranch run smoother, not cause you stress. So check out techsupport.farm. They're there to help you 24/7, and they really do. Chris and his crew make sure that you are taken care of whenever a threat might arise. So again, look them out. Look at them online, tech support at techsupport.farm. Now, I've been in Hillsboro this morning. I had an opportunity to meet Bob Dries. Bob won our Farmer's Prayer quilt that we gave away during National Ag Week. Congratulations to Bob. Thanks for joining me this morning at the Hillsboro Cafe. It was great to visit with you. And then I needed to make a stop over at the local hardware store where I was told I was recognized by my voice, that I was not what they pictured by meeting me in person. So I guess once again, I can chalk that up to I sound taller on radio is essentially what I was told. And I get that a lot.
So do I.
So, yeah, oh, yeah. Well, but so for folks who haven't met us in person, really, you know, you might think I'm 6 feet tall, but I'm not. So just answering that honestly. Just got a few announcements for folks that they should be aware of. The national championship NDSU Bison football team, horns up everyone, they are headed to the White House, and they're doing that next week, Wednesday, April the 9th. We are packing up the PetroServe USA microphones and all the actions coming from the Capitol. They will be joined by our team of Big Game James from sports. Scott Hennen and Steve Hallstrom will be on the trip while they have an opportunity to visit with President Trump. Also, Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, and we'll be sending you all the live updates and behind-the-scenes information. You can follow along right here on WDAYRadioNow.com, as well as all of our social media channels. Thank you to PetroServe USA, the Hot Tub and Sauna Store next to Costco in West Fargo, and Roe and Joe Junk Haul and Removal. When it's got to go, call Roe and Joe online at RoeandJoeJunk.com. Thankful for all those people and the work that they do to help the rest of us out. Again, as the insurance special comes, weather special comes around today, Dean, that starts when, and how can people reach us with their questions for you?
That is starting at 2 o'clock, well, 2:05 after the commercial break, but it'll start 2:05, and we'll have Gary on just for about a half hour. He's got other commitments to take care of today. But any time between 2:05 and 5 o'clock, we'll be taking phone calls, 701-293-9000. If you have any questions on the LRC, specific dates, we can narrow down specific dates for you. We'll be taking care of, and we'll be addressing like the big days, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Rib Fest, Wee Fest, things like that. So Red River Valley Fair, all that good stuff. We'll be breaking down those dates, what it looks like. Also, we're going to highlight when we can expect severe weather outbreaks here. That's something new we're going to do this year, as we've already seen a very active start to the severe weather season. Unfortunately, as we were saying yesterday, a major tornado outbreak, 5 people died. Today, expecting historic flooding in the Ohio Valley. And again, keep in mind, this is going to cycle back as we head into June and July. So we'll kind of touch on that as well. Like, when this cycles back, what are we expecting? Are we going to get hit each time this cycles back, or will it depend? And stuff like that. So, again, 701-293-9000. If you have any questions for us when we start our LRC special on the Jay Thomas Show. But it's... Go ahead, Bridget.
Don't forget to take the emails, Dean.
Yes. Emails, weather@flagfamily.com or studio@flagfamily.com as well. You can email those questions in ahead of time, and then we'll get those ready for the show. So should be a good show this year, and it's going to be an interesting summer, Bridget, in terms of, I know a lot of people, last year was a cooler than normal summer for most of us. Was most of the ag community, we had a lot of good timing on the precip last year. In general, What's your take on overall precip last year for the majority of us? Acceptable? We could use a little bit more, or it was all just perfect timing?
There's always going to be dry pockets. Someone's always going to say, I could have used a little bit more. When I've talked with like Teresa Gilley, she's up at Lancaster, Minnesota. She's been on the show before as well to talk about biofuels. And Teresa farms up there, and she said, you know, I'd taken more rainfall depending on the timing, right? I wanted it at specific times of the year. Generally speaking, most farmers will tell you a tendency towards the drier side does give us a better yield. When we are soaking wet, we have to spend more money on fungicide. We tend to be less of a yield because the crop can't mature as well as it should. When it's drier, we look to have more insects, and we may wind up having to spray some insecticides more frequently. So there's a balance. Mother Nature knows exactly what that's going to be. One of the ways that we're going to follow that balance is throughout this summer with our Here We Grow project. This year, we're raising wheat. Wheat's exactly what built this countryside. If many of you remember, the late 1800s, North Dakota was home to bonanza farms. Many of the communities in which we know and love have been built because of the bonanza farms in the region, and they were actually bonanza farm names such as Chaffee, Amenia, Grandin, and much that happened right around Castleton. And so wheat has built so much of what we have here as far as our agricultural structure. There's a reason why giant tractors, threshing machines, and so forth were built, and a lot of it had to do with what we were producing on those bonanza farms. Now, leaving behind the bonanza farms, we still raise wheat, often thought of as a rotational crop. I've heard it called poverty grass more than one time, which breaks my heart a little bit. I like growing wheat myself. And we're going to follow the progress of our 20 acres of wheat this year with Jim Ulin and his son Michael. They farm near Prosper, North Dakota, and the field that we have is actually up in Gardner Township. Some of the folks that are going to help us out with that, North Dakota Estate Services. We're going to talk with Mark from ND Estate Services a couple of times over the summer months. Transition planning for ranches are important, and I learned a lot in just talking with a farmer this morning about how it went with their farm. Thor Buildings, because we can never overlook the fact that an expansion on shops or machinery storage needs to happen, and Thor Buildings can be one of those to help. Kodakol Fuels and Propane, they're in this region. They're right where I'm at in Hunter, North Dakota, and they provide the fuel that keeps us moving in the field and so much more. Propane for grain dryers as well as homes. Ellingson Companies. When it comes to drainage, Ellingson is a key name in this region. And it's not just what they do in the field, but they have a team of folks that work to help out when it comes to legislatively, both state and federal. Gowan USA is behind us this year. Gowan has been a provider of fungicide over the last few years. We're going to talk about weed control opportunities with Gowan. Not necessarily just wheat, but in their rotation overall. I'm a big fan of Sonalan and Eptam that they still sell. Red River Retention Authority. If you want to talk about drainage, we need to talk about the Retention Authority and the work they do to make sure that we continue to upgrade bridges, dams, and keep those drains and so forth open and going the way they're supposed to be. Progressive Ag is one of our sponsors this year, as is Vision Ford out of Wahpeton, North Dakota. When it comes to Vision Ford, it's not just about trading or buying new pickups. Sometimes it comes down to parts availability and so much more. So we're going to talk about as much as we can with each one of these sponsors. You can look forward to following our progress online via video. We'll be doing that on our social media channels, again, of Facebook and YouTube at Weather and Ag in Focus. And you'll hear our updates when we're in studio with those sponsors and then also the times that we've been out in the field. So I'm looking forward to raising wheat. Again, it's probably my favorite crop, and just the opportunity to show folks what that growing season looks like. Usually it's a little shorter than what we do with corn, but by all means, there's still a lot to learn along the way. So looking forward to having that as part of our shows. Oh, goodness, there's a lot going on.
Deep breath.
To all the headlines. One last thing before we hit bottom of the hour news. There is an open house in Hillsborough today from 3 to 6 o'clock. This is for Riverview Dairy on their Herberg Dairy. Again, this is an opportunity for everyone locally, and I stress locally. If you live in the communities of Hillsborough and Halstead, come on in and ask the questions of Riverview that you want to know. When I was in Hillsborough this morning, I had a question about water and how are they going to supply enough water, et cetera. You know what? North Dakota is going to work with this area to make sure that there's water that's supplied to that dairy. But those dairies also recycle about 60% of the water that they use on site. So they use less water than you might think. You know what's important? touring those dairies, I've had the opportunity to go see the Campbell site, Campbell, Minnesota, and it is worth it. As I often tell you, I'm a former dairy farmer's daughter, and it didn't smell like a dairy farm. Not until I was literally in the pen with the milk cows. So there's a lot to be learned. That open house is today, as I said, from 3 to 6 o'clock. Come and go as you please. And it's at the Hillsboro High School gym. If you can't make it and would like a tour of one of the other dairies, especially the Waukon dairy just east of here, I've got a phone number for you. You can call and Riverview will get you a tour. So don't overlook that opportunity. Okay, news. And then there's more news and there's weather. And we'll be back right after this.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:37 in the afternoon here. And temperatures outside in the mid and upper 30s. We're starting to see more sunshine. That should help us move up into the low 40s for this afternoon. And we're continuing to melt away that snow. And if you're just joining us, anywhere between 7 and 14 inches across the area. Now, the exception, the far northern valley, only picked up a few inches of snow. But, boy, the rest of us picking up a very good amount of moisture with this. That's great news as well. Now, again, we do have our Weather and Ag in Special, Weather and Ag in Focus. After Weather and Ag in Focus, we have our LRC Spring Summer Outlook Special on the Jay Thomas Show coming up shortly after 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you have any questions, weather questions ahead of time, shoot me an email. Phil and Greg, I already got your emails. We'll be discussing what you were asking. If you have any specific questions about the LRC, or about what's in store for the spring and summer, shoot me an email, weather@flagfamily.com. We'll answer those email questions. And we'll also be taking your calls, too, 701-293-9000, if you have any specific questions on the LRC and what this spring and summer look like. And like you said earlier, we'll be going down key dates, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Rib Fest, Red River Valley Fair. And if you have any specific dates you have in mind, again, shoot us an email or you can give us a call and we'll answer those questions as we head throughout the special today. But it's I'll give you a tease, Bridget. It looks like a warmer summer than last year. So that's good there. And I know Jay, along with many others here in the building, were complaining that last year was a little, they thought it was a little cool for summertime. And I think part of that was because every stinking weekend we had some kind of rain, at least on one of the days. And normally it was on Saturday and leaving a good Sunday. But we never got a string of good weekends really to enjoy for last summer. So it was kind of a different summer, that's for sure. But this year will be a little bit better, it looks like.
I don't know. I feel like I sweated enough during the week to make up for the weekends, at least in my book. So sorry, guys. So a couple of headline things for us to talk about is turkey producers are in a bit of a double whammy right now when it comes to disease. The highly pathogenic avian influenza, which we've talked about the bird flu frequently since 2022, has been affecting flocks because in Minnesota, Minnesota is the largest turkey producing state in the U.S. Now, what's also been arriving in the last 4 months has been the avian metapneumonia virus. That's also arrived. So here you have producers who've had, for instance, there's one in particular, had to euthanize 20,000 birds in late 2023 due to the bird flu. 4 months later, here comes this metapneumonia virus, took out another 15% of the remaining birds. And that took egg production from about 7,500 eggs per day to 400. This could explain why some of the situation that's been going on that we've had. And so both these viruses are circulating around the U.S., heavily affecting the turkey producers. And it's hard to pin down the numbers of how many birds have been affected by the metapneumonia virus, because the Turkey Federation estimates the disease hit about 70% of flocks last year. The hard part is we just don't have the same numbers that we do on avian bird flu. And Jenny O had to lay off about 250 workers at plants last year in order to accommodate the fact that there were less turkeys being processed. We also had folks who couldn't find the turkey that they wanted in the size that they wanted. That wasn't uncommon at Thanksgiving, probably because many of those flocks had lost the size bird that you were maybe looking for, and then the smaller ones weren't able to grow as quickly, and the larger birds got really large. So felt like that 10 to 15 pound slot was tougher to find a bird for many people. So there, the toll has definitely been taken on the turkey producers. One thing that's being developed that might be able to help those folks is an app called AgriNerds, and it's being produced by some poultry experts, veterinarians, and software engineers. What it is a tracking app for the migration of wild birds. So think geese and ducks, etc., who are often the carriers for bird flu. Where's that migration happening? When are the birds going to land? You can follow along where they're coming and going from. How that helps producers is increasing their biosecurity when they know that the migration is moving through so that they can prevent cross-contamination of their flocks. You know, also one of the things that's happened is you have wild birds that leave droppings behind because they're carrying that virus and spreading it due to their saliva and also their droppings. And so if other animals get infected with that, say barn cats, which can then spread to dairy animals, this has been sort of the problem. So AgriNerds, again, is a new startup app that is going to try to track that migration to help us understand when the problems could arise and how to prevent them a little more closely. So we're going to watch for AgriNerds to come out soon. I'm going to call it your wet weather, Dean. I know you got a lot of blame yesterday for having wet, sloppy snow.
Yeah.
That's going to lead to some concerns right now for our livestock producers in the midst of calving. And reasons for that, when it's wet and sloppy like this, we can see an increase in scours in new baby calves. Mm. Scours is, in fact, a debilitating diarrhea. Who wants to hear that, right? That sounds terrible. Yeah. So if you're in the control room having your lunch, I'm sorry. So electrolytes can be given. Oh, you go ahead, Dean. You had a question? Nope, he's good. Okay, so electrolytes can be added to the mixture that you're feeding baby calves to help prevent that scours. Make sure you're following the labeled instructions when you do that. Also, to help boost their immunity for those calves, you're going to want to make sure they get a healthy dose of colostrum. Usually that comes off the mother cow as quickly as possible. That colostrum should really be given within 24 hours of birth because the ability for the calf's gut to absorb the immunoglobulins after that really goes down quickly. So let's make sure they get that colostrum. There are powdered products available if mama cow doesn't have enough to share. If there are multiples like twins or triplets and you need more colostrum than mama can provide. And sometimes you just need to supplement that for the calves. But again, there is more available. And that heavy wet snow yesterday, what was important was getting those newborn calves in somewhere warm and dry. The dry helps to prevent them from becoming infected with scours. The warm helps to prevent hypothermia. In those cold, wet, windy conditions that we had, calves can really pick up hypothermia rather quickly. So getting them into those warming sheds that we've talked about, those little white huts, sometimes it's as simple as the top cab off of a school bus, something to get them warm, dry, out of the elements really makes a difference for those calves. Okay. Yesterday, when we were talking about rabies with Dr. Emily Fox, our veterinarian from Ashley Vet Clinic in Ashley, North Dakota, one of the things we were going to talk about was dehorning or disbudding cattle and goats. And we didn't get a chance to do it because our conversation about rabies was bigger than I anticipated. And we're not just talking dogs and cats. She had great advice pretty much for any animal that you may have contact with, whether they're in the wild or domesticated. It was an eye-opening experience to learn that you don't just drive the head of a dead skunk to Bismarck to be tested for rabies, but no, you can mail that. Check your packages carefully, folks. This is probably as bad or worse than getting a Colligard box in the mail. So now, we didn't get to talk about dehorning, but what is that? Okay, cattle automatically have horns. You can genetically breed to have polled animals, right? So they don't have horns, but most of them do have horns. How do you get rid of them? Well, as I said, you can do that with genetics. The other thing is the younger, the better to work with these animals because debudding is the term for removing that horn before it attaches to the skull. And that happens at 8 weeks of age. Otherwise, it's kind of a free floating, someone described it as a wart and you want to get rid of them. Well, again, you can do that, as with any procedure, the younger the better, and you can do it with a dehorning paste. That's actually very common, and when you do that, calves have to be less than 2 days old, so We've already talked about getting them colostrum within 24 hours. Now we got to put the dehorning paste on within 2 days. And we got to keep that calf dry for 24 hours. That's where these calf shelters and barns come in to keep the calf there. The hair is usually clipped around the buds about the size of a dime after the dehorning paste is applied. So look, calf's first haircut already happens. And you can do that while you're bottle feeding them because they get distracted. They're not paying attention. It's sort of like someone waving a Carol Woodman's chocolate chipper in front of me. I'm not going to notice if you're clipping the hair right there. So after 24 hours, that paste is completely dry. Now, this disbudding with the paste is easy. It's fairly economical, not very painful. If the calves are bigger, and I remember doing this frequently as a kid, we would use what's called a Barnes dehorner. And for all of you who are very busily with Google or whatever your favorite app is, you can go look it up. If you think about it as, I guess the easiest way to describe it is maybe if you remember going to grandma's house at Christmas and she had those little walnut cracker things when you had the bowl of nuts on the table, it's a little bit like that, except at the top, it opens the opposite direction that a nutcracker does. You open it up. There's an opening there that you would put over the top of the horn on the animal, and then you pinch it shut, and it pinches off the horn, and it will actually gouge a little bit into the skull. It takes with some skin. It removes the horn. It's best to have a clamp there because sometimes you hit that blood vessel to the horn, and you've got to clamp that off. You don't want that bleeder. You're doing this while that animal is in a head shoot so that you can go ahead and put a clotting powder on there that also is an antibacterial to prevent infection. If all this sounds pretty crazy, it's real. It has to happen. It's best not to do that on the open prairie. That's why you want to have a head shoot in which to be able to have that animal held for both their safety and yours. We don't do as much dehorning as we maybe once did simply because we've now bred for that in genetics, right? We now have removed that particular item out of the DNA of the animal so we don't have to worry about them. In the case of Texas Longhorns, well, it still exists, and you definitely want to do that a little bit sooner, I'm afraid. No one wants to tackle a Longhorn in that type of situation. So,
and Bridget,
yes,
I've got an email that came in one of our listeners asking, he said he read an article showing that over the last few weeks, we've seen a drastic price drop in eggs. Now, I don't know where he got that article from. I haven't noticed a whole lot in the grocery stores. They have come down, but he's showing they're down close to $2 or $3 for a dozen. Assuming that's the case, I don't know where that article is from, but what would be the main reason for that? Is it because the bird flu is winding down, and or what would be the reasoning behind that?
I don't think bird flu is ever going to go away. I think for the most part, we are going to continue to see sporadic jumps in cases of bird flu. That's just going to bounce back and forth. In reality, yes, there's been discussion over the last few weeks about egg prices coming down. I think it may depend on where you are, what your markets are. Okay, if you're close to an egg-producing region of the country like the Southeast U.S., where you have shorter transportation to market, you probably saw those prices drop faster than areas like up here where we have to do truck transportation to get some of those eggs to us. Also, there was a lot of work done with other countries. Turkey, for one, was talking about shipping us more eggs to help increase our volume.
Okay.
And I think there was a couple other countries that were going to do it as well. So is it just one answer? Probably not. I'm sure the conspiracy theorists are very busy right now talking about why eggs prices and volumes have changed. But I'm going to talk about it more of a logistical situation than I will anything else.
Gotcha. So I hope John emailed that in. John, I hope that answers your question.
If not, if it's the John I'm thinking of, he's just going to send that email.
No, it's not. No, it wasn't that John. It was a different John, actually.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So, yes. So, yes, with so many things going on, with food prices and so forth, and how is that going to be affected by tariffs, I think that remains to be play out yet. We have long been the country with the cheapest, safest, and most secure food supply in the world. That's not changing. We still have the cheapest, safest, and most abundant food supply anywhere in the world. Will those prices change so our margin of cheapest is less than what it once was? Yeah, that's probably going to be the case. Things are going to bounce around and fluctuate. Anytime you have economic situations like is currently going on, it's sort of that rock into a puddle. And it's going to be a big splash, and then things will level out, and we're going to see what they look like before the next big splash comes along. So it's a struggle at the grocery store right now. Dollars don't go as far as they once did. We're having to make better buying decisions, I think, in some cases. It's not so easy to buy some of the things that we might just want, and we have to buy what we need. And I don't say I'm in favor of all that, but it's just the reality of where we're at today. And we're going to figure out what food prices do over the next few months. I think we'll see quite a bit of swing.
Well, hopefully, eventually, they come down a little bit.
It's going to be like fuel. Once you establish those new lows in the marketplace, coming down eventually is going to have a different connotation than what it did before.
Exactly. Well, let's run down a quick look at the forecast again. As we've got some better weather heading our way, thankfully. Well, eventually. How's that? We do have more snow on the forecast, but it doesn't look like a whole lot. For the rest of the afternoon, we're looking at partly cloudy skies and temperatures. We're finally seeing the sun. This is really doing a number on helping the roadways, especially those residential areas that just didn't get plowed. This will help out quite a bit and just turn it wet instead of all slushy. Topping out today, low 40s. With a northwest wind at about 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll turn mostly cloudy as we head into the overnight hours. Mid-20s, light winds, and could see a little patchy fog developing. And then Friday, clouds increase. We'll see light snow spreading in from the west. It's a minor deal. But areas around Bismarck up through Minot could pick up a couple inches of snow out of that. But for the FM area, it looks like less than an inch. Kind of keying in on a half inch to an inch. With highs in the mid to upper 30s. And then the weekend, hey, we'll see more sunshine, and temperatures should be the upper 30s and low 40s. We'll have a cold front come through Sunday late. That will drop our temperatures back into the 30s with windy conditions on Monday. Monday's going to start off raw for this time of the year. But by the end of the week, we're in the 50s, mid-50s on Thursday, and we're going to be into the 60s. I know it's hard to believe right now. Are you kidding me? We've got some areas 7 to 12 inches of snow on the ground, and you're saying the following weekend we're going to be in the 60s? It sure looks like it, because we'll melt away most of this snow by early next week. A lot of it will be gone, not all of it, but a lot of it will be. And then the sun doesn't have to use its energy to melt the snow. It will use its energy to heat us up. So once we get rid of that snow early next week, there's going to be a quick warm-up. So for Bridget, myself, I want to thank you for joining us. And don't forget, coming up here at 2:05 on the Jay Thomas Show, we'll have our LRC Spring and Summer Outlook. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.